This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. Our theme this year is prayer, and we've been looking at lots of different aspects of prayer, and our habit is a couple of times every year is to put aside some time to pray and to fast. And this year we're putting aside 14 days to pray and to fast. And there's a particular focus to what we're doing. It starts today. Some of you have already started fasting. Some will start tomorrow on the 1st. And over the course of this Sunday, next Sunday, and the Sunday after, we'll be praying particularly for our friends. And hopefully that those screens over there will become populated by the prayers of the saints for their friends and their family. So if you prayed before and you didn't write your thing up, please add it to it. Or if you didn't want to pray out loud, but you've got a prayer that you are praying, please add your note to that board. And it's a sort of a visual focus for us to be able to pray. And our this evening, as Josh says, we've got the engine room, which is a time of prayer and fasting in here, prayer and worship in here, and particularly focusing on praying for our friends and Vineyard House. I'll come back to that more in a moment. During our all the time, but particularly in a period of prayer and fasting, God speaks to us quite specifically. And if you feel that He's giving you something for you or for the church, and you want to bear witness to what God's saying and doing in your life, we'd love to gather your stories. We've got an email address, mystory@leedsvineyard.org. Just email your story there. It'd be great to collate them and to hear what God's doing and to be able to feed them back into the life of the church. As I say, our focus is for our friend. Our prayer focus today is for our friends and our family. And so that's what I'm encouraging you to do over this week, is to pray for those people and for others on your heart over this week. There's an extra a dimension to it, which is this try praying resource, which we're going to use. And you're invited to join in with us in using this. So what I'm going to invite you to do, those of you who operate in the digital age, if you want to go to next slide. Go back a slide. That one. If you want to go to that address and download the app, the trypraying.app, do it now while I'm doing this. And then for those of you who are more 20th century, there's some booklets. So can I have a couple of volunteers to grab the booklets from there and a couple of volunteers to grab the booklets from there and to distribute them? I think we haven't got enough for everybody, so if you're digital and you don't need one, we'll have a lot more next week, and I'll explain what to do with these in a moment. They're also giving out a sheet which has got some scriptures on it. I'll come back to that and explain that in a little while, but we'll give them out now. So I'm going to take a couple of minutes break for you to download the app and for them to give those out and have a little look. So we're giving you a book this week and a little note with some scriptures on it. And next week, when you come, we'll be going to be talking and doing an update on Vineyard House, our building project around the corner. You're going to be given another book with lots of information in that, with lots of pictures and explanations and bringing you up to date with where we are in that. We just love giving you things. This is a church that just keeps giving. Every week we'll give you something. No, we won't. We will do this week and next week, though. Okay, so try praying. We're nearly there. We're nearly all distributed. This little project is for those who don't go to church. Okay? I know I'm giving them to you, and you're here, so that's a contradiction in terms. But this is for those who don't go to church. This is for people who have no faith. This is for your friends and family who don't want to talk about God. Because what we find is that many people, they may not articulate faith or church or Christianity or anything, but they do pray. They're not quite sure what they pray to or why, but they do pray. Statistically, most people pray at some time or another. The morning of a job interview. The night when somebody close falls ill. 5 minutes before an exam. Thousands and thousands of students are coming to Leeds. Maybe the first time away from home in a big city on their own. Some of those are turning to prayer, desperation prayers. Most people pray in desperation. It's a help prayer. And it raises the question, if they're praying, was anybody listening? Is there a God? Was he listening? Was the prayer answered? And people tend to find that praying helps and have often seen answers to their prayer. But if these people around us don't want to talk about Jesus necessarily or about faith, hardened atheists or just people not interested or they've had a bad experience, many of the people we prayed for there, they still have issues that arise in their lives and things they can't deal with themselves and they want some help. And so one of the responses that you can offer is try praying. Just try it for a week and see what happens. Nothing to, you don't have to come to church. You don't have to do anything. Just try praying. And most people will take that up as a challenge, or they could do. And so you can give them this book, if you want to give them a book. And there are a few left over, I've noticed, amazingly. We'll have a lot more here next week so that you can all take them to give them away. Or they could download the app, which is very good. And they can work through a seven-day prayer. I started it this morning. So what I'm saying is I'd like you to do this week. Okay, I'd like you to read this and treat this as your devotional, perhaps, each day. Do day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so that you know what you're giving to people when we come to that. And the first prayer says this. On the first day, God, it feels a little strange talking to you, but I'm giving it a go. Okay? And then each day, that's the first day. The second day is a thing about keeping going, persisting. And then the next day is something about there could be something better out there. And then the next day, there's something about if you take a risk, you might see something happen, i.e. faith. And then it moves into redemption and forgiveness. Can I be forgiven for what's wrong in my life? Then it moves into inviting Jesus in, and then it moves into the presence of the Holy Spirit and renewal. And at the back, there's loads of information, and it ends with try and find a decent church. There's also, on each day, an encouragement to pray for the issue that the person wants to pray for, but also encouraging them to pray for somebody else. And a key each day, a thing that they can do to help them reframe the whole idea. So the first day, it's every time you pick up your phone to make a call, pray. Just little things like that. And a story about somebody who has done this and what's happened. Naomi, where are you? Come and talk to me. I'd like you to meet Naomi, who's been using this for a year or so, and tell you her experience, because some of you won't understand what I'm talking about. What happens when you try and do this, and why do you do this? So just give us a couple of examples of people, friends of yours you've talked to, or how you've done it in the last year.
So I've had the privilege of having a few conversations with friends, sometimes at work, where they've got a problem and they said, oh, can I pray for you? And they say, yeah, okay. But then, I think this was probably before I had the book, but then it's like, well, I'm praying, why don't you try as well? Because what I want to see is people to experience Jesus, and that when we're doing this, we're trying to show people that they're loved. And loads of you were coming up and saying, I'm praying for people, which is fantastic. But it's also great for them, sort of invite them into prayer as well, and that invites them to come close, have the opportunity to experience Jesus.
Yeah. So, and what happens when you offer them, the ones that you've offered this book, do they go, that's weird, go away, or do they say?
No, they usually say, thanks very much. I've sort of, and it's in different, depending on who it is, one friend I've said, oh, I've got this thing, this book, you know how we've prayed a bit. Could you just have a look through it, maybe have a go, just let me know what you think of it, kind of like a book review. I'd be really interested because we're wanting to use it a bit in church. So you're kind of getting them on board with I'd appreciate your view. And
tell us about Eva. What did Eva do?
Yeah, so
Eva's her daughter.
Yeah, so Eva's my eldest daughter. She's 10. So I'd got some of these Try Praying adult ones, and I saw that they had them for kids as well. So I just thought, oh, I'll order a couple of them. I think I just ordered 4. So I said to the girls, I was like, right, what? Same thing. Like, I'd like to know what you think of this. Why don't you try it? Is this something that you would give to a friend? So Eva got quite into it, enjoyed it, and then decided to give it to one of her friends who she'd invited along to church. So a friend had a great time in the kids' groups, and then we're in the car on the way home, and her friend just said, I really feel like I want to pray. And me and Steve were in the front, like, going, oh, right, try not to say anything, and like thinking, what is she going to say next? She said, I really feel like I want to pray. Can we pray now? Is that okay? How do I do it? And Eva just said, well, why don't we use this book that she had in the back of the car, obviously, for her friend. And then went on to explain how, well, you can pray anywhere, anytime, doesn't matter, you can pray in the back of the car. Should we start at page 1? And then, so her friend took this home and introduced it to her sister, and they were then... parents who aren't involved in church said to me, oh yeah, they've been praying every night and we've had to make a little prayer area. I've got a prayer mat, and Eva's then wanted to give her friend a Bible, so we bought her a Bible and she's been reading that. I think just last week at school, must have been in RE, the teacher was asking, oh, what faith everyone is, and her friend put her hand up to say, yeah, I'm a Christian. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Naomi. There's some ideas. You're allowed to clap. So this is the action I want you to take. Or I'm inviting you. You don't have to do this, okay? If this is too something for you, that's fine. But if you want to join in, take the booklet, download the app, use it in your prayer time each day this week, and pray about the issue in your life. Okay? Have a think about what it is that you where you want God to intervene in your life. And pray it through this week using this little structure. And one of your prayers I'd like to be, Lord, show me who it is, like Josh said earlier, who it is that you want me to promote, you know, suggest this to. Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want to open a bridge of communication with? It might be a new friend at university. It might be a family member. It might be somebody. It might be your best friend. And just pray for, Lord, give me the opportunity to say those words. Why don't you try praying? And then hand it over to God and wait to see if that opportunity arises. For that to work, you need to have one of these on you or be ready to download the app. So think about that this week. There's a few left. Pick up some more if you want some more. Next week we'll have more. Have a spare one in your metaphorical or real handbag. And if someone takes up the invitation, go for it. And perhaps do it with them. Pray it through with them. Share text messages, what do you think about it today, sort of thing. Now, I just want you to remember that a bit like when we used to, a year ago, we did the invitation theme, or 2 years ago, what counts here is being faithful to God's prompting. So if the Lord prompts in you the name of somebody or somebody that you know you should be praying for and ministering to, just do your bit and ask the question. What they do then is not your responsibility. It's not your responsibility. That's between God and them. And if they say, don't be weird, go away, fine, you've done your bit. If they say, yes, I'd love to do it, that's great. Okay, so we're not counting results from whether people fall on their faces and say, can I be saved? All we're saying is, have a go. Just listen out for what God's saying and be obedient to him when you get the opportunity to say, why don't you try praying? And the next week, we'll see... we'll have a bit more of this feedback and praying for people, and we'll see. Some of you may have already had the chance to do it by next week, and we'll get some stories perhaps, as well as looking at Vineyard House as our focus next week. Now, how do we pray for our friends and family, and why do we do that? I haven't got long, just a quick Bible study. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. We won't hand out the Bibles. I'll put it up on the screen. It's only one verse. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, if you're looking in your device. Acts is the story of the early church when after Jesus had ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit comes, and Acts tells the story of what happened in that explosion of mission in those first few years. This verse occurs on the day of Pentecost. So the people who have been following Jesus have been sort of hanging around waiting for something. They know something's due to happen, but they're not sure what. And they're waiting. And then the Holy Spirit comes, and there's something spectacular happens, because people say it looks like flames of fire. It sounds like thunder and wind. And people stop and stare. So something is happening. Amazing is happening. And it gives Peter the chance to get up on his podium and preach the gospel. And he's ruthless. And he says, you, pointing at the people in Jerusalem around them, say, you killed the Messiah. He wasn't trying to be politically correct at all. He laid it on the line for them, but he said, you can be saved. And they are convicted in their heart, thousands of people, and they say, what can we do to be saved? And he says this, verse 38, chapter 2. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right. It's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. I just want to look at that single line. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. See, in Peter's mind, he's standing there as sort of the self-appointed boss of this bunch of disciples who thought that this was the Messiah who'd come to fulfill generations of hope and expectation for the salvation of the world. They'd had those hopes dashed and then resurrected, literally. And he's standing there with the disciples around him, the apostles around him, and the team that sort of hung around with them, the women and the wives and some children, no doubt, and friends. There are probably about 100 people there. And this thing happens. And he's looking, he's saying, what's going on? And then people begin to come running and say, what's happening here? And Peter recognizes it. He recognizes it. He says, this is the promise being fulfilled. This is the promise being fulfilled. And so he's turning and he's saying, look, there's all these people around us. There's, God has come to us and our friends and family, and he's coming to them and to their friends and family and their network. And you know what? He's going far off. He's going far off. He's delighting in the realization that all the promises are coming true, and that the redemption of the world and the restoration of paradise is on its way, that the power of God is here to save and to heal. He can see that the king is coming, and he doesn't want anybody to miss out. And so he pleads with them. He says, let's give this promise to each other, to our children, and to all who are far off. See, God's promise is for them, but it also extends across the centuries and across the world. God's promise extends 2,000 years later. It extends nearly 3,000 miles away to Yorkshire. God's promise is to me. And you. And your friends. And your family. It's God's promise. His promise to forgive our sins and pour out his Holy Spirit in our heart. It's a life-rescuing, eternity-redeeming, world-changing promise. And it's for me and for you and for them. It's the greatest good news we or they will ever hear. It's a better story than any one or any other religion or any other philosophy or any other politic can offer. And today we live in a culture that needs that promise desperately, but that doesn't understand it. That proposition, repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit, made sense in those days. It doesn't make much sense today. It needs more explaining, but it's not a promise we can keep to ourselves, brothers and sisters. It needs explaining and it needs sharing. And one of the best ways of doing that is to see prayer answered. I don't mean in the sense of a prayer, in the sense of a slot machine God who gives us what we want if we ask in the right way, hard enough, often enough. I don't mean that. I mean prayer in the sense of a God who comes close by his Holy Spirit, and who, when we open up a conversation with him in prayer, he begins to transform our lives in ways we dare not hope and barely can imagine. He comes close and he tells us that we are loved. And when, like Naomi was saying, when you invite somebody into this prayer thing, you're inviting them into a conversation with God, you're inviting them into somewhere where they'll find out that they are loved. That they're loved, there's purpose to our lives, that our sins can be forgiven, that we can have certainty of eternal life. What a promise. Prayer opens up that opportunity and that possibility for our friends and families to receive that promise. And so I want to invite you to join with us in these 14 days in particular to pray and to fast, food and drink, not things so much this time round. Fast, maybe you might want to miss a meal every day or stop drinking alcohol or coffee and tea or whatever it is, whatever God puts on your heart, fast over these next 2 days. There's lots of resources. I didn't go to them earlier on, but if you go to our website and type in fast at the bottom, it'll pop up with a whole load of resources to explain what it is and different ways of doing it. And Try Praying is a resource you might want to use to help you share this promise. I just want to run through with you quickly this handout. Some of you will be asking me, how do I actually pray for my friends? Yes, I can ask them that question. Why don't you try praying? Great. But how do I pray? What words do I use? This might be helpful for you. I believe that God has given us his word for us to use. And that as we study the scriptures, we find inspiration in how to pray. He says, if you look at the first verse on here, Jeremiah 1 verse 12, God says, I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. So if we'll use his words, he wants to see them fulfilled. He's watching over it. We may need to wait. We may need to be patient. Lamentations 3:26, it's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And 1 John 5, it talks about having the confidence to approach God, that if we ask according to his will, according to his word, having read the scriptures and understood them, using these words, we can be confident that he hears us, that he knows what we're asking for. And then I put a couple of prayers from Jesus, obviously the bit of the Lord's Prayer where it says, your kingdom come. That's what we want for our friends and families, brothers and sisters. We want the heaven to come on earth. Let there be heaven on earth. Let his kingdom come in my friend. Let his presence explode in their lives. May the windows of heaven open and we see a glimpse of what is to come and what he has for us. John 17, I recommend you read the whole of John 17. It's a fantastic prayer. But you might want to pick up on, Jesus is mainly praying for his disciples, but he's also praying, i.e. us, but he's praying for the people who will come to know him through us. I pray also for all those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. And we can pray, Lord, I pray for those who, my friends and my family, I pray that they will believe in you so that they will become one with you. You can use Jesus' words and turn them into prayers. Prayers for God's intervention in Acts. And it says, they joined their voices together. Sovereign Lord, they said, consider their threats, the people who are out to get them. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. You could pray that prayer. Lord, I'm hearing people giving me a hard time, but give me strength and enable me to speak your word with boldness. Stretch out your hand, Lord, to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. You could pray those words. And there's more prayers from Paul about that sort of situation. A prayer for leaders and for those in charge of us. Prayers for our children, both our children now and children to come, the future generations. Prayers for difficult situations, people who are opposing you, as well as people who have been cast out, outcast, the refugees, the asylum seekers, the people who have been excluded from groups. That Jeremiah 30 verse, I will restore you to health and heal your wounds because you are called an outcast, Zion for whom no one cares. Lord, you care for them. Would you restore to health and heal their wounds? Do you see what I mean? Do you see how to use these words? Let them provide a vocabulary for your prayer life. And then there's some fantastic prayers of blessing you can pray over people. Just nod if it made any sense to you at all. Okay, none of you moved an inch for those 2 minutes there. Right, let me pray. I want to pray, and then we're going to give some time to the Holy Spirit to minister with us and to pray for each other. Well, let's just pray about that particular thing, shall we? Lord, as we enter these next 14 days, fasting and praying, we sense that we're joining in with the great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. We sense that we're becoming your fingers in the world. We sense that you have purpose to use us to bring your promise to the people who were far off but are near us. I pray that you will speak to us in these days very clearly. Show us how to pray and for whom we should pray. And Lord, I pray that you'll send your Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of the people for whom we are praying. Would you be at work in their hearts? May we see minds opened to try praying, hearts turned towards you, prayers answered, lives changed, and may we see your kingdom come. Amen.